dance all the time. This is the Dan Time Podcast with your host, Dan McArthur.
I would love for to have you come up. I want to take you to Deggie Street in chat. That's where Fergie Jenkins grew up. I know he was a big hero for you.
Chatham is on the bucket list. I'd love to visit
Chatham.
Yeah,
if you ever come up, I'll get you to do some research on the War of 1812, and I can take you some historical sites from the War of 1812. And we have the forts in Amherstburg just south of here. So, yeah, historically, it's a pretty interesting place. Anyway, this has been kind of a nice chat. If nothing else, we've gone, like I said, in some circles, but just want to catch up. So,
it's been great, Dan. I didn't come with a long list of prepared questions, like maybe the first time, but I think my viewers and listeners sometimes enjoy that, just enjoy the rapport.
Actually, I have an idea for you.
Yeah.
Get your wife to do a podcast and I'll put Brenda on with her.
Now that might be the hook, because I've been trying to get Natalie to do a podcast with me.
Yes.
And she's always said, no, I don't, that's your thing. You got plenty of people you can call.
Well, I said, no, honey, they can compare notes publicly over their husbands. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
Dan, I hope that you get up in a couple more months.
Back in the gym.
Yeah. Doing back in the gym. Trying to improve your 40.
Yeah. 41. Yeah. Sometime, I'll send you a picture sometime. They actually have organized sports and games for people with organ transplants.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you know that. 1990, 10 months after my first transplant, I went to the Canadian Games, and I got 2 golds and a silver. I got a gold in the 60 meters and the silver in the 4x100 meter. So maybe that's the foundation for the Challenger Sports, was I got to do sports after. I never thought I'd do it again on some level.
Now, Dan, I realized one question I probably didn't ask first go around. When you were a young boy, you're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, did you like to play any kind of sport that was available to you? Did you like basketball? Did you like swimming? Did you have opportunities to swim and to...
I was baseball. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school and I got to competing against people of my own size, I was a wrestler and I was a distance runner. I was a very good distance runner, as a matter of fact. So people were surprised when my heart went. Like I ran cross country, and my secret in wrestling was at 98 pounds, I was 3 years older than everybody else in my weight class. And I had a little bit of a mean streak back then.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of a mean streak. No, we played the recreational sports, baseball. We're always out in the field. And I'm sure you went through this when you're playing baseball, the lights come on, it was time to go home.
Yeah.
Or your mother stepped out the door and yelled out, Dan, you know.
Uh-huh.
And our baseball field was only about 100 feet from the door. And road hockey, that's a Canadian thing. And if you ever went to Canadian and you want to see them jump, just say car. Because you're playing road hockey in somebody else's car, that means get off the road, there's a car coming through. But that's a bit of a tradition up here.
It's road hockey. On the baseball front, when you got up to bat and you're a kid, and you get to pretend to be a ball player. Did you have a player that you said, okay, I'm Al Kaline or who?
Oh, probably Willie Horton.
Yeah.
It's a great story. They said the east side of Detroit to left field Tiger Stadium. And when they had the riots back in 67, they had to cancel the second game of a doubleheader because of the riots. And Willie Horton went out in the streets with his uniform on to calm people down. And he's a legend for that. Because he really believed in his community. And he meant something to the community going from east side of Detroit to Tiger Stadium. And he realized that. And this is back in the days when and the LK Lions realized they had an obligation to those kids to be a good role model. Some didn't see it that way, but they did.
I think we're back in that place now. To an extent. Everybody should look to sports venues and ball fields for their heroes, but man, it's hard to look elsewhere.
Well, what disappoints me right now with some of these fellas, and I'm going to be judgmental here, but too bad, doing betting advertisements.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky's doing advertisements for betting. And that's not going over well up here. It is not going well up. Oh, he doesn't need the money. But people really held him in such high esteem. And he did everything right. He really did. But when he started getting the betting, people went, we don't know if we know him anymore. And that's unfortunate. But I found that betting has really taken some of the enjoyment out of sports.
I think so. And you never know online who's being nasty, what they comment and what they post, if they're so enraged and so vitriolic because they lost a few hundred bucks on this guy missing a field goal or something. But
well, you know, Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Yeah.
You know who he is? He was out by like 2 inches. At home plate. What are one of those? He got death threats.
Because they're saying, you know, that lead off a third, he should have been far off the bag.
Yeah, he got death threats. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So. Yeah, there have always been hecklers, and I think it, to an extent, inside the venue, yeah, you're going to get some emotion stirred, but outside, online, I'm not into it whatsoever. And I listened to the podcast, The Book of Joe Madden and Tom Verducci, and I was really pleased that Joe Madden, the former Cubs manager, he denounces gambling and the platforms.
Yeah.
Some of it is just, you know, back in the day, if you wanted to gamble, you know, you had to go down to the track. You had to go to the casino. You couldn't just sit there on your couch as a 22-year-old male that's knocking back a few drinks, and it's just so easy to just tap and just let me deposit 60 more. Oh, shoot, I just lost that prop bet. Let me make another 20.
You know, it's not the game scores that's killing people. It's the prop bets.
Yeah.
You can bet on the first pitch is going to be a strike or a ball.
Right.
You can bet on the first free throw. Well, that opens up a player because who's going to know? It was a pitcher. And he was supposed to throw a ball, the first one, and people bet on whether or not he – so it's the prop bets that's really – and it's unfortunate. People get into trouble with the gambling. It's like I said about the smoking and drinking. You don't start, you don't got to stop.
Yeah.
And it affects everyone else. And I know someone, and they lost a family home because of dad. Hmm. So, and if I'm being a self-righteous Christian or whatever, then I'm going to have to live with that. And that's just how I see it. And I was raised up in a family where I go to my friend's father's funerals, and their life stories are all the same. Born on a farm, went through the Depression, joined the Army to get 4 squares or 3 squares, left the Army, got a trade, and they spent their whole lives dedicated to their families. But they're all the same. That was that generation. Of course, they didn't have this little fella either.
Right.
Saw a picture. All the kids are sitting around the kitchen table. They're playing on their phones. And it says, we are truly prisoners of our own device. And I had a rule, like no phones at the table.
Yeah.
And no watching TV when we're eating. You know, that's the time when we can get together. And we had shouting matches, I'm not going to lie, but we were together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, kids, especially, anybody listening, if you have young children, which mine aren't teenagers yet, and I've been forewarned what to expect and all that. But, you know, if you got a four-year-old, especially a three-year-old, 4, 5, 6 years old, they want nothing more than your undivided attention.
Oh.
Yes, they want to play. You can leave them alone for a little bit. They'll go out or they'll occupy themselves. But I policy in my house with me is if I have to do something on my device that's optional, it's not work related. I'm checking scores or I'm scrolling on something, and I can tell in my peripheral vision that my daughter is coming around the corner. I can hear her little pitter patter. A little feet walking down the hallway, and she's coming in my direction. That phone is down before she even gets to me, before she makes eye contact. At all costs, I do not let my small children stand in front of me without me making eye contact with them. It drives me hate to tell people what to do, but when I see people in public at playgrounds, and their child is looking at them, and they cannot break their eyes from their phones. It's rough. I can't sign off on that.
The guy in the stands who's swearing at the players, his 4-year-old is sitting next to him.
Yeah.
I mean that. And they don't think.
You're the example.
Well, if you take anything away from this interview, it's you're not the only person in the world. You're not the only person in the world. And you got to kind of catch on to that. Now, how old is your oldest?
He turned 8 in November.
I want you to know, when he turns 13, you're going to get really stupid. And then when he gets 20, you're going to smarten up again. I guarantee you. And the other thing, and the only advice I gave my stepdaughter, she bring home a boy. How does he treat his mother?
Yep.
Because that's how he's going to treat you. And watch how dad treats his mother, because that's where he learned. And it stood her in good stead, you know. But yeah, I raised a teenage girl, and it's fun. Tell you what, she's got her doctorate in immunobiology right now, so I guess she did something right.
You did something right, absolutely.
Well, she's making, right, last I heard, she was working in a lab in Toronto making drugs for AIDS patients. So for all my flaws as a father, I did something right.
Well, Dan, I haven't said it before on the show, but God bless you for
thank you very much
making your life mission what it is. And yeah. You've talked in the past or on a previous episode about, of course, 1989 and 2000, and people can imagine when you have a heart transplant or you have a second one, the medications that just the average person of a certain age has to take every day. You can only imagine what's on Dan's plate. Just the hoops that you have to jump through in general.
Oh, and the thing too with transplants, especially hearts, we all go through depression. I went through it. I talked about this in a newspaper article. I got addicted to one of my drugs. And I didn't know I was addicted until I missed a dose. And then I went through the withdrawal. And I went to the hospital and I said, I worked too hard to get this far, to screw it up over a drug addiction.
Yeah.
You know, let's deal with this while we can. But I know how much I put into keeping me alive. I'm 70 now. I know full well what other people have put into keeping me alive. And I realize that and I appreciate it. And it's kind of hokey, but I live for them too. And whenever I want to get lazy, I say, the person who might've got this heart that I didn't get it, somebody else got it, they might take care of it better than me. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a motivation for me too. You know, to the person who could have got it and didn't. So anyway, great talking to you today.
You too, Dan. I wish we could, and we will, get together in the flesh and I get to visit your digs and
I live in a bachelor apartment. The thing about when you can't get around is why your apartment starts to get really shabby really fast. We call it the motel syndrome. You walk into the motel, your shirt goes here and your pants go here and your shoes go here. But I have people coming over to help.
Pieces fall where they may.
The pieces fall where they may. And we will work on getting Natty and Brenda to do a show together.
Yes.
Brenda's an interesting person. Anyway,
well,
give my best to your family.
Yeah, let's – are you prepared to make a Super Bowl champion prediction?
Well, I want to say the Bears because I wanted to beat the Packers. But I think – and just the one game, Seattle against San Francisco, Seattle looked really good.
Yeah, they did.
They look like a very well-rounded team. There is something to be said for experience. I think the Bills will probably beat the Jags this weekend just because of the experience, to be honest with you. And Houston's probably going to beat Pittsburgh because they're just a better team.
Dan, as a Baltimore fan, you know, losses really, they affect fans in different ways. I had to take a step back and think, okay, well, that was really tough. Anytime you miss a field goal, it's brutal. But I thought, it's not a playoff game. We got ourselves fortunately into a position where we can win and you're in, lose and you go home, and we're going home. So it's it's a bad feeling. But the remarkable thing, you're talking about a field goal that if this ball goes to the uprights,
yeah.
Mike Tomlin is out of a job and John Harbaugh is still the coach of the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entire trajectory of multiple people's lives, I guess, and professional lives are just based on the way that Tyler Loop kicks the ball, I thought he was really, really classy in how he described it and what he's going through. And I was pleased to see, at least I'm trying to wean myself off reading. I read a lot of sports posts, and but people seem to be very supportive of Tyler Loop and what.
I was coaching 10-year-olds in baseball, and it was a championship game. They're really nervous. I said, "Did you ever watch The Wizard of Oz?" "Yeah." "That scarecrow is always smart. He just needed a diploma." "The lion always had courage. He just needed a medal."
"Yeah."
"The Tin Man always had empathy. All he needed was a tick, tick, tick." I said, "Fellas, it doesn't take a trophy to be a champion."
That's terrific.
And that's what I told him. Doesn't take a trophy to be a champion. They always had it. They just needed the visible proof. Well, you don't need that validation.
I love that, Dan.
And their life's not going to end if we don't win this game. Just that simple. The coach, on the other hand, was another story. We actually videotaped this game, and I could see my hands were clenched the whole game. So you're more wound up than they are. But that was my story. Is you don't have to have a diploma to be smart.
Yeah.
And you have to have a trophy to be a champion. I mean, who's to say Dan Marino's not a champion because he didn't win a Super Bowl?
I think he did about as much as you could expect. And I can't remember if it was the run game or the defense on those Dolphins teams that really didn't keep them in position to be, you know, more competitive than they were. But I think Marino did about all he could.
Well, Bum Phillips, coach of the Oilers, he says, "Don Shula can take his and beat yours, and he can take yours and beat his."
Yeah.
Because he, as you know, in the 70s, it was about the run. Zonka kick Morris. You get into the 80s, and now it's about the pass. And he changed his team around. So we'll give Don Shula credit for that.
So. Oh, and we were talking about, of course, Indiana earlier in the conversation. Man, after last night, I think the Hoosiers, it's going to be a great matchup, Miami and Indiana. Yeah. And I think it could go either way, but just or before last night's game, I think Indiana's just a behemoth.
Yeah. It's funny because they were not expected.
No. I think people were snoozing on Cignetti and what he's built there.
Actually, one player I liked was Ole Miss was that quarterback.
Yeah, Chambliss.
Chambliss. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked good. Now, Michigan has Bryce Underwood. Imagine Lamar Jackson, but he can't pass. Now, mind you, he's 18 years old. He's got some growing to do. But he's an exciting player, but he's not a very good passer. And Michigan, you know, having losing their coach like that, you know, because of the scandal.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, what's going to happen with that team. So, but there's a saying, you can win every game of the year if you're Michigan. You can lose every game of the year if you're Michigan. But you better beat Ohio State.
Better when the big game?
The big game comes on, yeah. Same with Ohio State. You can lose every game, but you better beat Michigan. So.
Well, Dan, I know you and I will chat during the playoffs and everything here. Mm-hmm. And this was so much fun. I hope my listeners and viewers, Dan and I have been talking for a while here. So
that's all right.
I take no offense if you've been cleaning the house on the back end and not hanging on every word, but maybe when Dan speaks, you do a double take and you tune back in. I feel like I have a tendency, Dan, to ramble. I'm always hanging on the edge of my seat when you drop in.
It's funny, whenever I step in front of a microphone, the next few words I hear are "keep it short." Keep it short, Dan, keep it short. Now, if you go to the Chatham City Council meeting, September the 8th, and I did a deputation. I did a presentation about the baseball, and they're trying to put in a new field in Chatham, regulation field, but they want to design it just for a Challenger program. And so they had me come in and talk about Challenger baseball and what it would mean to us to have that field and what the program is about. And basically what I said was the program is about developing people and life, because our players, we encourage them to volunteer. Because that's life. And it's another story. And if you got time to put this in, that'd be great. Every parent, I go and talk to them. "Who's your son? Blah, blah. What can I do? Who's your daughter? What can I do?" Last game of the year, couple shows up. And I go over. "Hi, I'm Dan." And I said, "Who are you rooting for?" And they said, "Number 3. Number three does not know what color shirt it's on. Number three does not know the intelligence level, the skill level, the language, the color, the culture of the person wearing it. The kicker is, number three that night was a finalist for the top athlete scholar in Chatham. Captain of every team she's on, she's on a basketball scholarship, one of our volunteers. But in her parents' mind, she's just number three, same as everybody else out in that field. And when they said that, they said, they get this program. They get this program. Our volunteers wear the same shirts. They don't have volunteer on the back because they don't want it. And that way they can build a relationship with the players. But as soon as I said number three, I thought, they get this program. They get this program.
That nobody's there for the spotlight. And
yeah. Well, that's why we became a big family, because the families, our volunteers, our players, they're all treated the same. They're all treated the same. But that's one of my favorite little anecdotes from the baseball is them saying, and they just have so much to be proud of with their daughter, to be honest with you, and she's just number three.
Dan, I wrote this down. I was thumbing through my files. I keep a lot of notes on every episode, mm-hmm. research and things like that. And I have a 1, 2, 3 of, I think this is as it relates to Challenger Baseball. Number one, okay. Have fun.
Yep.
Number two, make friends.
Yep.
And three, show good sportsmanship. Was that something you said, or is that, I may have just pulled that out of.
Well, I would have, and making friends and sportsmanship is personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's about personal growth. We had players, we couldn't get them out of the dugout when they first started. And I want to tell you, if you're socially awkward, dugout is not a good place to be. And they had to adjust to being around other people because they weren't used to it. And by week three, you can't shut them up. They dance around the field. I don't care. As long as they're enjoying themselves, I don't care. And the worker in the group home said, every Thursday night, as soon as they get home from work, I'll go to the shirt. It was nice to provide it. And I've been thinking a lot about how we've asked organizations and businesses now to change their mandate. And you got the poster for soccer. I sent a copy to minor girls softball and minor baseball. Could you promote this for us? And they said, yes. That doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen between little league organizations. So for me, it was very gratifying to have them come back and say, yeah, we'll support this.
You've made one heck of a difference in that community.
I hope. I try. By the way, if you want to feed your ego, go into chat at GPT and put your name in.
I wonder what they had to
say.
First time
I did that, I put my name in, and it all comes all flattering. I go, why? You like this?
Dan, anything else that you'd like to plug? We covered a lot.
Yep. No. You get to edit this, so ball's in your court.
And I'm always happy to shine the light on Chatham. I think it, just from sure. what I've read and seen from afar, it's a wonderful community.
Yeah.
And
yep. We're like any other mid-sized or smaller city. We have our pluses and we have our downside, and that's just life. Mm. We're the same as any other. We have been accused of being too kind to the homeless. You're, what's the word? Enabling.
Enabling.
So, yeah, I enable them to see tomorrow. I can live with that.
And Dan, I mean, I would think that people maybe have a binary way of looking at things. Are certain programs that benefit the underprivileged. Well, someone's going to steal from this, or someone's going to get this checked and they're not supposed to have it because they're going to game the system. Well, that's going to happen at a small percentage everywhere. But in your case, you know, let's just say one person that you're reaching climbs out of that, or two.
Well,
or three.
My friend and I'm going to plug this motel, and we deliver sandwiches to this Colonial Motel, East End of Chatham. It's not great. One day the owner came out and said, I'm really impressed with you guys, what you're doing. I have a room right over there you can use. So once a month we take our portable barbecue and we have a barbecue for the people in that motel. By doing that, they're more than just sandwiches. And we've got to know them on a personal level. And it was two people were grieving the loss of a child. Well, my church has a grief program, so we were able to hook them up. But we got to know them. And my suggestion is the story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. That's the story, because he developed a relationship with that woman, found her needs, rather than judge her for being divorced four times. And that's the key. And that's the key.
And you probably,
well, my friend, football's going to start in a few minutes.
Oh, wow. We've carried it all the way to kickoff almost.
All right.
This has been terrific, Dan. Let's do it again.
Yeah. We'll get the girls involved.
Yes. Folks, thanks for checking out the Dan Time Podcast. And hopefully your week ahead is much brighter, and we put a bug or two in your ear about making the most of your time on Earth.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Dan Kabelka, folks, tell a friend about the podcast and check out everything they've got going, all the good things they have going on up there in Chatham and with Challenger.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
The head of the family.